God is totally involved in bringing his people to not only salvation, but into glory. It's his business. He desires it with all of his heart. Paul said, you guys don't even understand what this means. Let me explain it to you here. This doesn't just mean you don't have to die, but it also means that the curse that came on Adam when he did sin and being cut off from the tree of life, that too is reversed. All that Adam had in the Father, in the garden, prior to sin, could be restored from one degree of glory to another, to another, to another, to another. That as we continue to shed self-life and continue to grow in fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to let him make his home in us and us to abide in his word, as we continue now by the power of the Holy Spirit living within, to keep his commands and decrees, to turn our face towards him, to let his spirit melt our heart and to shed the fleshly life, to shed the cocoon of the old life that's dead and meaningless, just scrape it off like a snake's second skin, as we continue to let the life of God well up from within, the deposit that was given that guarantees our inheritance. As we continue to do that, not only is justice served in that the penalty of sin is totally demolished and fulfilled permanently as we have faith in him to be that for us, but secondly, we also believe that the life that Jesus had with the Father and Adam had with the Father prior to the sin coming into the world, the fellowship with God, eating from the tree of life, that too could be restored to us with ever-increasing measure from one degree of glory to another. That also is what Paul says in chapter 6 is taking place. Magnificent, unbelievable thing that's happening is not just justice being served, but even more than that, history being turned back and turned back and turned back. And now, how much more? If sin came through the one man, how much more does resurrection life come through the one man, Jesus Christ, for all who believe? Christ dwells in your hearts, Ephesians, through faith, through believing. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. To believe that what God said is true, the same God who said, let light shine out of darkness, let there be light. By believing his word, a miracle as magnificent as total chaos hovering in darkness, and then all the lights of the heavens and the earth and all of those things coming into existence out of nothing, a miracle just that large is happening inside of us. We're becoming a habitation of God by the Spirit. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're not just being saved, but we're being drawn into the family likeness of Jesus, chapter 8, the full measure of the stature of Christ in Ephesians chapter 4. And you have to believe that in order to secure it for your life. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. Why? Because Jesus died, he overcame the power of sin and death and rose and is seated at the right hand of the Father. I mean, just shatter all of your feelings about your history, about all the things that have held you back in the past, all your supposed weaknesses, and let Jesus not only be the standard of the measure for salvation, but let the life of Jesus be the only ceiling you ever put on yourself. You with me? Jesus must be, if we're going to secure life in him, not just a salvation in him, if we're going to secure a life to the full, an abundant life, transcends understanding the power of an indestructible life in the inner man, if we're going to secure that and live that out in a real way to be the bride of Christ that's an equal yoke for Jesus, not just a pitiful, also-ran thing that just survives until he comes back, holding down a little bit of turf with some kind of theory about Jesus' return, positional truth alone, as opposed to deep faith in the work of God that transforms our very personal lives. Unless we believe, we'll not find the glory of God in this lifetime. You must believe that the only ceiling in your life is the person and the character and the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Nothing else is acceptable to you. Aim for perfection. Nothing else is tolerable in your life or anybody else's because you love them too much for them to settle for less than the standard of the life of Jesus Christ. That's, he came not only for atonement. He could have done that as a child. He could have done that in a lot of ways. But he spent 3.5 years demonstrating what life could be like to show us the power of the resurrection life of a man in total fellowship with the Father, a man born of a human mother with weaknesses just as ours, it says in Hebrews 2 through 5, a man like us to show us how we can be like the Father in our character, our walk, our fellowship. The things we can see are not any longer limited then to the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. You have to believe this from the heart. Because to believe any less is to call God a liar, to call 3.5 years of Jesus' life a farce, to not believe what the Scriptures say again and again and again. I mean, why would God give us the manifest life of God in practice, in reality, in observable, touchable, tangible reality, where hands can touch and eyes can see and ears can hear the life, the very life of God on planet Earth again in His body? Why would He do that for people that are busy calling Him a liar all the time? They fail, and then they just assume that that's the limit of where they can be. They look in the mirror and they see certain character flaws and they assume, well, this is who I am and that's all I'll ever be, but God bless everybody else. I know they can do it. Rah, rah, rah. But as for me, I'm just who I am. Sinner saved by grace. Getting along. Please save my soul on the last day, oh God. That sort of attitude will cut us off from the riches and the inheritance that are in Christ. The full stature of Jesus that God intends for you personally. It will cut you off. If you call God a liar and accept any ceiling lower than the person of Jesus Christ in fellowship with His Father, in flesh and blood, living out in weaknesses just as we have, living out God's will in His heart and His life, if we accept a lower standard than that for ourselves personally, then we will get exactly what we believe. That's the nature of faith. You get what you believe. Whatever you accept in your heart is what you get. And that's the only reason some people surpass other people in this lifetime. Some people seem to, but it's only flesh. It doesn't hold up. Others genuinely surpass all of their peers. You that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. I can't call you spiritual, you're mere babes, but we have the mind of Christ, Paul said. What I'm saying is, there's no question, not because of some foreordained purpose of God, that John Smith will be weak and Fred Jones will be strong. That is not the way it is. We are limited by how much we believe God. We're not limited by our talents. We're not limited by our willpower. We're not limited by our looks or our eloquence or any of those things. We're limited by how much we believe God, and that's all. That's really good news to me. To me, that means the only limitation I have is God's power and my willingness to believe what He said. Let the light shine out of darkness. That's right. I believe that. Well, if you'd been in a pretty dark world back then, you might have had a hard time with that one. I don't even know what light is. Let the light shine out of... What is light? I don't know if I believe that or not. Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it must mean something else. Let's cross-reference it. Let's study it out in the Greek. I'm not sure that it could mean that, because I don't know what that is. I've never experienced it. I've never seen it. And so we second-guess and rationalize ourselves into a hole. But if we're able to believe, let the light shine out of darkness, and boom, there was light. Then also, in the face of Jesus Christ, we can also believe that He can transform our character from one degree of glory to another as we behold Him into the full measure of the stature of Christ. You, personally, are only limited by how much you believe God, are willing to submit your heart before Him in a total trust of what He said is true. And so now, it isn't willpower. It isn't talent. It isn't eloquence. It's nothing but believing God. Well, it has to be more than that. And that's exactly what gets us into trouble. That's exactly why so many people that are either Christians or somewhere in the periphery of Christendom but not saved, though thinking they are because they go to church, that's why so many people, regardless of which category they're in, escapists through the flames because they've built with wood, hay, and stubble. They limit what God could have done in their life by not abiding in Him, being saturated in His life, totally trusting and believing His will and His heart for them and His character, trusting His character. You know, I just want to kind of reemphasize that point, that any limitations that are in your life are only limitations of your faith, your willingness to believe God. He desires the whole thing for you. All you have to do is believe Him with all your heart and keep on asking Him about it. Keep talking to Him. Keep beholding Him.